with that, you know? That's like the first part of the conversation, you know? I ran into a pastor, you know, guy I know from Texas, and saw him at a meeting. Hey, how you doing? And he starts with, hey, you think you're ever going to find somebody? I was like, wow, this is, you know, we're going to lead with this. Is that what we're going to do, you know? Usually we just talk about the weather first, you know? How about that sun, you know? And that sun's out there. Okay, now we'll talk about being single. And so just out on the road, you know, it's just one of those things. So I started to teach on that because I realized that if I'm running through struggles and if I'm trying to face things, and chances are other people are too. And so we love being out there just teaching people, singles. You know, had a pastor associated with my ministry, you know. He talked to him and said, what are you looking for? You know, who are you looking for? Things like that. And he told me this. He says, you know, Dave, it's your age. Yeah. I was like, "What? Wait, you know. I'm at that age now where I realize when someone starts with, you know, at your age, you're about to hear something, right? Doesn't matter if you're young, doesn't matter if you're in the middle, doesn't matter if you're old, you know? But he told me, he says, you know, David, your age, you know, you're probably going to find somebody, but there's probably going to be something wrong with her. Oh, my gosh. Mind you, all these stories that I've given to you, these are all pastors that are telling these things to me, you know? This is not church members. These are like pastors telling me, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, what's going on with you? And I found that many times in the church, sometimes singles feel that way, you know, as if the married people are looking at us saying, you know, will you just get your act together and get married and find somebody and then we can hang out with you, you know? So these pastors call me up and say, we got a group of singles in the church, you know, can you do anything with them, you know? And I say, yes, I can, you know? And I love it because they just throw everybody into the pot, you know, 18 to 80. It's just doing one big... We're having something for you. Just show up, you know? And if the group doesn't know each other, I volunteered in the youth department of my home church years ago. I volunteered in junior high. And sometimes these singles events, I feel like I'm going right back to the junior high. You know, the guys are on one side and the girls are on the other side, you know? This is like adults, and it's so much fun just putting them all together. But, you know, there's one message that we love teaching to people, and that is, man, God has something great for your life. Amen. And something clicked on the inside of me finally. I got rid of fear. Mm-hmm. Just being honest with you. Fear drove so much in my life. But once I got my eyes off of me, come on now, don't you know that's the trick of the enemy, is to get you always focused on you. See, the journey is the same, whether you're looking for a spouse, looking for that place in life, looking for the call of God. What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? Right? There's a dream in your heart. You know, talking to singles, they don't always want to admit they're looking for somebody, you know? But everybody can agree, I want God's best for my life. Whatever it is, wherever it is, right? They have a dream in our hearts. Right? So people that are married, they have a family, they still have a dream in their heart. They want God's best. What am I doing here? And how do I get to that place? For some people, it's also healing, right? There's something that they face in their body and they're looking for that place. And there's a dream about healing. And really, the journey is the same. You're looking for a spouse. You're looking for healing. You're looking for prosperity. Looking for God's plan. It's the same journey because the obstacles that come against you are all the same. They change the wording, they change the phrasing, but the enemy is still out to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's still out to stop you. And I found that so much in life is geared up to go along with the enemy's plan. And that's why there's people around you that question, are you sure you have that dream? Who do you think you are? And if the devil can get your eyes off of God and onto yourself, I'm telling you, he gets you just in that circle where you just keep going around and around. Who do you think you are? What do you think you qualify for? And it seemed like everybody was telling me, Dave, you don't qualify for anything great, right? Even had a family member tell me. So I'm a traveling minister. I had a family member tell me. She said, you know, Dave, you know, girls just aren't looking to travel. They just don't want to do that, you know? And everything in life comes to just kind of lower your expectations, right? But I went back and I talked to the Holy Ghost. I said, come on, Holy Ghost, what do you say about this, right? And the Holy Ghost and I concluded, I'm not looking for a whole bunch. I was just looking for one. I just needed one girl who wanted to travel, one girl who wanted to be with me. I said, come on, Holy Ghost, you got something, and I want to tell you today. I've been married, and I'm telling you, I didn't settle for third best. Listen, I fumbled and stumbled and bumbled my way to finding her. And I love being married, but I'm not up here today saying, you know, I got a book, 10 ways of how you can get the girl of your dreams, you know? All I know is one way, and that is to hook up with the guy who came up, hook up with the one who came up with the whole plan. This was God's idea. This wasn't my idea. So I'm out there on the road telling people, come on, God has something great for you. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter. If you're alive, you qualify for the goodness of God. So hold on to your dream, whatever it is. If he's called you to do something, right? You have gifts, you have abilities, right? Haven't been unlocked yet on the inside of you. Come on, don't let anybody lower your standards for what you expect in life. God wants to set you up and set you as an example in your world, to your family, that this is what God does for the person who follows him wholeheartedly. And once I quit trying to earn it, come on now, right? Isn't that the deal with the church, right? We're wanting to stand before God based on what Jesus did for us and based it a little bit on how we've been doing this week too, right? I come before God based solely on what Jesus Christ did for me. And once I got myself out of the way, I tell you what, God has been so good to me. So we love teaching singles. Come on, there's something great out there. No one else is giving them hope. But man, my wife and I are out there telling them something great is coming, right? Amen. That's right. We even tell the married people, come on, you can have something great too. Don't you love that the very first miracle Jesus performed was at a wedding? I mean, we get the miracles that he performed, you know, when someone had died. Someone was blind. Someone couldn't walk. But this was a wedding. It was the first one. And what I love about the wedding there is that Jesus' miracle takes place. And the master of the feast says, you know, most of the time in these ceremonies, people expect the best at the beginning. And then over time, they expect it to fade. Oh, but you've saved the best for last. And that tells me there that even in the marriage, no matter how long you've been married, right? Because the world expects, you know, they're still telling me, oh, you're in the honeymoon phase. That's why you count the days, 760-something days, you know. People just smile, oh, right. But come on, what the Word of God tells me is that even if you've been married for 20 years, come on, how many days is that, right? 7,300 days, right? The Word of God says God still saves even the best for last. And I believe he can touch marriages. He can touch families. There is no limit to what God can do. And if there's one thing I want you to get this morning, it's to raise your expectations of what God wants to do in your life. Come on, he specializes in taking people who stumbled and bumbled their way through. And he turns that very, come on, the very thing that was embarrassing to you, the very story that you didn't want anybody to know, God can turn that around, touch that, and make that your testimony. There was a time, just a few months ago, my wife and I, we were teaching at our home church there in the singles group. There's a singles group of 36 to 55-year-old singles. And I was part of that, you know, for a handful of years. And so I come back and we teach on it. And twice a year, three times a year, the teachers invite us to come back. And there's such an excitement. We had a lady come up to us just a couple months ago and we were there. She said, are you guys teaching this morning? And we said, yes. She said, oh, I love it. She said this. She said, you guys are such an inspiration to us. I don't know if you realize the story, but 10 years ago, nobody was saying David Fleming was an inspiration when it came to relationships. That was not what they were saying. God has been so good to me. He's turned my story around. My wife was married before. She was married for about 2-3 years. And so, man, he just spoke divorce from the beginning. Man, as soon as I got married, he just kept saying, I think we made a mistake. And she just was determined to plow through this. But, you know, after 3 years, he was just determined to end it. And so then the devil told her for a couple years, it's over, your dreams are over, your dreams are done, your dreams are finished. Yeah. Come on, she got into the Word of God. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 2, right? There's a good life that God has planned for us to live. And she fought back. She spoke back. See, you're going to have to do the same thing. That's what I did one day. You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to stand up and say, I'm tired of just settling in. I'm tired of being, come on, the example of how things should not be. I'm tired of being picked on. I'm tired of always being the bottom, being picked over. I'm ready now to be this conqueror, to be the victor that Jesus made me to be. You've got to stand up and say something. You've got to agree with the Word of God. And so my wife, many times a day, would get her verse out and just keep speaking. Come on, do you have a verse? What has the Holy Ghost been telling you? Come on, get that verse back out. Keep speaking the Word of God. Keep speaking the Word of God. Keep speaking it over yourself. The Word of God is alive. It will change your life. It will change how you see things. It will change how you view people. It will change everything about you. And all of a sudden, when that happens, then it begins to change everybody around you. It changes how you view people. And she just kept pushing back, and she kept pushing back, and she kept pushing back. And so here we are married today, and man, she's loving life just as much as I am. God has been so good to me. So that's another part of the message. We don't have time to get into this morning. I've been teaching on Romans chapter 5 about 4 years ago. I got a hold of a verse in Romans 5. And I realized that the Word of God compares what we lost through Adam and what we gained through Jesus Christ. And something clicked on the inside of me and it just changed my life. When I realized God's been good to me. The devil works overtime to get you to think God hasn't been good to you. God's holding a standard over your head and he's just ready to bash you down. No, and I realized, man, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs any trouble I've ever been through. Man, I'm having so much fun with this message, just meditating on this, changing this. I used to be a perfectionist. Hated mistakes. Come on, I found a verse in the Word of God that helps me with that. Used to be incredibly defensive, right? Oh, I found a verse that helps me with not being so defensive anymore. Used to be fearful, had no idea. I thought it was just me. But once I got a hold of how God views me, what He does when I come into His presence, what He spoke over me, I'm telling you, completely changed my life. And so God's been good to us. There's something dynamic that happens when you realize God's been good to me. God loves me. He did this for me. I tell you what, it just gives you such a boldness before you come before the Father. It's changed how I shop at the Walmart. It's changed how I drive. It brings about those changes that I always wanted, right? As a believer, right? As a born-again Christian, we want that change. We want that. And as long as I was always focused on me, how do I get there? Man, I just would keep going backwards and backwards and backwards, right? It's as if, you know, society just has so many things. Even in the church, there's so much just soul, you know, that we teach people, you know. And we have so many people trying to do the change from the outside, but it's designed to be from the inside. And so now the answer was, I quit focusing on me. I focused on Jesus. And I just compared everything that happened to me with what Jesus did for me on the cross. Well, how does this compare? Oh, and the Word of God says what Jesus did for me on the cross far exceeds any damage, immeasurably outweighs the transgression. Amen. So I compared everything in my life to that. And man, I tell you what Jesus did for me on the cross is so big and so powerful. I'm telling you, I got it. I got it. But this morning, we want to go into the ministry of helps. It's the last year that we focus on, teach on, love teaching on the ministry of helps, getting involved. So I received a call to ministry whenever I was 6 years old back there in Tulsa. Remember the day and the time when I accepted the call, so I've just kind of been headed this way my entire life, out on the road. But meanwhile, though, up until the spot, you know, where you go into the ministry full-time, I just volunteered in all kinds of areas. So my father pastored a church whenever I was growing up. How many of you know if your father is the pastor, you are automatically a volunteer?
Yes. You do. Everything.
No need to sign up on any sheets, on any lists. They don't even ask you, are you coming? You're going to be there, you know? But I was headed to the ministry, so it was agreeable. It didn't bother me at all. So then when I went to Bible school, you know, the question for me, I got involved in a new church. The question was not, should I get involved? It was, where should I? So I asked him, I said, where'd all the men go? I said, well, usher. And I said, well, that's it. I'm going to be an usher. So I ushered for 2.5 years. I volunteered in children's for a year. I worked with the prayer group for a couple of years. Volunteered in the youth department for 11 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days. I like numbers. I worked there at the ministry, you know. Wanted a different job. I was working retail, getting myself through Bible school. And then once it finished up, I needed something different, you know. I got a diploma. I got a call. You know, there's an anointing upon my life. I'm supposed to preach. And they asked me to come cut the grass. So, well, okay, all right, you know. And I did all kinds of things. Let me tell you, the dream I had in my heart had nothing to do with what I was doing there at the ministry, right? They're asking me to plant flowers and pull up the weeds and pick up trash all over campus. That was not the dream, right? But in order to get to the dreams, right, so many times we have a dream in our heart, you know. We see ourselves doing something, using our talents, using our abilities. So many of us, we want to start there. That's not the starting line. Starting line is you just come in and just do whatever they need. And so that's what I did. And so I worked there at that ministry as a ministry of help spot. I worked in grounds out there in Oklahoma Heat for 39 months. And then I got promoted. Hallelujah. Inside job. Man, it makes a difference in Oklahoma. My wife and I were going to Calgary next month. Her family lives in Calgary. And I'm so excited. Because Calgary's up in the mountains. It's in August. Last 2 years in Oklahoma in August, it's been 110, 112, 115. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm a traveling minister. I have a lot of control over my schedule. What am I doing in Tulsa in August? So I scheduled myself in Calgary this year. Sounds like God to me. So this new job that I got promoted at the ministry, you know, years ago, then was indoor, and it was organizing and setting different events up. And so I worked there for another 5 years altogether. I worked at that ministry, you know, 8.5 years. And I loved it. But meanwhile, that dream just kept growing on the inside of me. And at one point there at the ministry, I'm doing physical work, but I see myself teaching and traveling. And it took a couple years. It took 2 years for me to get my heart right to be able to do it. So many times the first step towards finding the plan of God is just being willing to do whatever. He doesn't always lay out the whole plan. What he's looking for is, I might have something for you to do. And what he wants you to do is say, I'm all in. I'll do it. I'll go. That took me 2 years. I got the Bible school diploma. I got the call to preach. But it still took me 2 years to figure out, yeah, I'll do whatever. And then once I made the decision, it still took 2 years for us to open up. So now I've been traveling out on the road since 2001, just loving life. And one area that we focus on a lot is the ministry of helps. And so after all these years, I still volunteer. In fact, that's what I was doing there at the camp a couple weeks ago. I wasn't preaching at the camp. I was working behind the scenes, and I look for projects out on the road in between meetings where I still come and volunteer. Man, I love it. And there's a number of reasons why I do that, because the helps is not just a starting place where, and then after a while, you get promoted and you don't have to do that anymore. Man, the ministry of helps is a great opportunity. I think it's the best environment in the American society today for you to develop your gifts and talents for the kingdom of God. You may or may not be using your talents on the job. You might just be making money. Got to pay the bills, right? It's work. If it was supposed to be fun, they'd call it fun. But instead, they call it work, right? You may or may not have a boss over you that is actively looking for your good qualities and talents and trying to promote you. But here in the church, you've got the opportunity to come in and get involved in a number of different areas and learn talents and find gifts about yourself. I started to volunteer in the youth department. You know, I was 22 and filled out an application. You know, my church come from a church that had a youth department of about 350 kids, 400 kids. So they take applications. I filled out an application and they said, no, well, no, thank you. And I said, well, what do you mean, no, thank you, you know? So I waited 6 months and I filled out another application. They said, we're not taking anybody right now. So I waited another 6 months. I filled out another application and they finally said, okay, we'd like you to come help. And so at this point, you know, I wrote down on my resume, man, I could do a lot. What can you do? I don't know. I was 22, didn't know what I could do. You know, didn't know who I was. But man, I got to do something great. But it was in this environment of working on the ministry of helps that all of a sudden that these other gifts and talents came to the forefront. See, you have abilities, but you don't always know what they are. But you bring that ability all of a sudden into this group. And then the group begins to recognize there's a gift from God on the inside of you. See, you thought it was just you. That's what helps does for you. Gives you the place. You actually have a responsibility to develop your gift. I don't know if you realize that. You read all the parables that Jesus told about when people were given gifts. They were required to develop them. Ministry of helps, I think, is the best environment. See, on the job, we can use money to get you to do all kinds of stuff. Right? I want you there at 4 a.m. Well, I'm not really a morning person. I'll pay you. I'll be there. Okay, I'm there. Fine, I'll be there. Right? I want you to do this job. You know, I just don't really feel like we'll pay you. Okay, I'll do it. All right, but, right? But you take money out of the equation. Come on, you come into the church. We've got to figure out how we're going to work with people. Right? We've actually got to be nice to people. We've got to learn how to smile with people. You don't necessarily have to do that on your job, but boy, you do when you come into the church. And so working in the ministry of helps gives you so many opportunities for you to develop that gift, for you to find that ability. One of the number one reasons I love being involved in the ministry of helps is because I am a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. So by definition, it means I'm doing something. And being a disciple, I think ministry of helps is the best environment for me to take. Did you get something from the worship this morning? Did you get something? You were supposed to get something when you came before in this morning. Did you receive something? And the ministry of helps provides a great practical environment for you to take what you received, and then you begin to walk it out into your life. You take it from the Sunday morning to the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the ministry of helps gives you a great opportunity to do that. Whenever I started to volunteer as an usher, I was pretty introverted, pretty shy, pretty quiet. And I remember they put me on the biggest door right there, the main door coming in and out. They said, okay, David, we want you to greet everyone coming in and out. And I almost panicked over that. It's like everyone? Really? Yes, greet everyone. Are you kidding me? Yes. How about if I just start with the people that I know? No, we want you to greet everyone so when they come in, they're welcomed. I don't know if I can do this. It took over a year before I would actually smile and greet the people. Right? And it's just through time that I'm able to work with these skills. You know, in time I'm able to develop these people skills. These skills of realizing that it's not all about me. And I'm looking for the gifts in other people and looking for what can other people do. See, if I just sit across from you in church, across from you in the aisle, and I see you Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe an occasional Wednesday, it could take me a couple years to figure out where you are as a disciple. But boy, I work with you, and in 15 minutes, I'm going to know exactly where you are in your people skills. I'm going to know exactly where you are. And what I love about the ministry of helps is it gets me in with, I'm a disciple. And what that means is I'm making disciples. I'm working with the Holy Ghost. And so I'm involved with people, right? And so the ministry of helps gives you that opportunity to come in and to get involved. We have a relational gospel. John said in 1 John 1:7, he said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what's he talking about? He's talking about he being God, being the Lord Jesus Christ, the light being the revelation we get from the Word of God. If you walk out of the revelation of the Word of God, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have a relational gospel. This gospel is supposed to impact how I get along with people. It's supposed to make a difference. I'm supposed to be nicer today than I was a year ago. Not supposed to be as irritable today as I was 5 years ago, right? There's something built into the Word of God that if I allow it to work in me, that I don't become so easily offended anymore, right? And so there's something about the ministry of helps. And then there's another reason too. It's because we all need everybody. God calls people to do the work, to do the job. But then he also calls people alongside to help them. There is not one super Christian in the church. There's not one person who has every gift. Even the leaders don't have every gift on purpose. Right? See, sometimes we stumble over that. We see, oh man, if we only had this, if we only had that, if we only had this. Come on, it's that way on purpose. The Holy Ghost does not make a super Christian. Why? Because we learn to value. We need every single person. You read those stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God gave Moses a job to do, and then he gave him a whole group of people who could do the work. Let's turn to the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's show you a verse there. We've been all brought together by the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives us an illustration. Man, I love the illustrations that the Holy Ghost uses. They're applicable even thousands of years later. Paul's trying to illustrate to us, the Apostle Paul there in the New Testament, how do we all fit together? And he came up with this illustration of the human physical body. You have different parts. Right? You have the hair, you have the hands, the eyes, you have bone that's tough, you have skin that covers, you have tissue, you have organs, all different shapes and sizes. Some are tough, some are soft, some are seen, some are not seen, but they all work together for the life of the body. And this passage, we don't have time to read the entire passage, but if we did, you'd realize that this group right here also functions as a body. So what it means is this group right here, we've got a lot of different people in here, right? I've had people come up to me after service before and say, Brother Dave, you know, will you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. What can I do? And they say, well, pray for me because I don't know about this church. So what do you mean? He said, well, I don't think that I fit in. Well, how come? He says, because I'm different from everybody. And I want to tell him, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be that way, right? And so we see in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 12 briefly. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member but many. You ever realize, too, how your whole body just works together? It's just seamless. It's just flawless, right? It's just one. So when we see you, we say, hey, how are you doing, right? We're asking about the whole thing. We don't stop and say, how's your feet? How's your hands? How's your heart? How's your skin? Now, if you've been going through something, we may stop and delineate that, you know. But otherwise, how are you doing? We're asking about the whole thing, right? Your whole body doesn't get upset. Let's personify this just for a second, right? Let's personify the parts of the body. Let's just say that your hair and your hands are at odds, okay? Right? Everybody talks about the hair, right? How's your hair doing? You change your hair. You don't have any hair. What happened to your hair? Where's your hair? What color's your hair, right? They all have something to say. Nobody says anything about your hands, right, when you walk in, right? And so imagine you sitting down there in the church parking lot and your hands are like, that's it. That's it today. All right, hair, you are done, you are finished, right? Tired of everybody talking about the hair. Nobody ever says anything about us down here, right? And before you get out of the car, you know, your hair, your hands just go through and just mess up the whole thing. Just, we are fixing you today, right? And your hands say, no one's ever talking about you. In fact, if they're going to talk about you, they're going to be making fun of you today, right? Has that ever happened to you? No, because when we compliment one part of you, we're complimenting the entire part. And what Paul is trying to say here is that the body has many parts, but you're still one body. So we read then in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. I'm about to give you a list of a number of things here that Paul says that are in the church placed by God. God places this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps. Everybody say helps. Administrations. Everyone say administrations. Do you see that? This is not an exhaustive list, but who started out? Who put these in the church? God put these in the church. If you'll take these two words, helps and administrations, you read these in other translations, you'll see translated as assistants, helpers, wise guides. Another one is organizers. How many organizers we have here? People love to organize things, put things together. Usually the percentage is always about the same, no matter the size of the crowd. It's interesting. Just a handful of people. We like lists. We like telling people what to do, where to go. Gotta have us. Right? Been placed in the church. God did that. Another translation, I love the Taylor translation, says, those who have the ability to get others to work together. Man, I like that. Right? Any peacemakers in here? You just know how to get people to work together. You're just right in the middle of them, been placed in the church. And I want you to see that ministry of helps is not just an excuse that the pastor is saying, well, I don't really like that job. Let's get somebody else to do it. God placed in the church. He gave a vision. He gave a plan. He gave leaders. And then he put people who love to do the work. Turn with me. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. Let's look at a story here in the New Testament. I was just teaching at a Bible school last month on the ministry of helps. I have a 30-page outline on this subject. We won't cover the whole thing this morning. We could teach on this for days, teach on it for weeks. Love being involved in the ministry of helps. I think there's a place for everybody to do something in the church. There's a job to do. There's a vision. There's a plan. And it's going to take some work to do it. So in Acts chapter 6, we read, now in those days, verse 1, the number of disciples was multiplying. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Isn't it funny? You get a lot of people together, all of a sudden you start to have some complaints. Happened in the scriptures. It's okay. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12, this is the leadership, talking about the disciples. This 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they prayed, laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. New Testament example of the ministry of helps in action. The ministry of helps helps the message. The word of God is what changes people's lives. This is what makes the difference. But the ministry of helps is the contact point when people greet the message. What we're trying to do is get this in them. But there's so many times that we come into people, it's almost like an emergency room. Sometimes they just need to be stabilized, right? We'd love to give them a word. We'd love to just pray with them and have them go on their way. The word of God can do that. But for so many people, they're going through so much trouble. Sometimes they need a sandwich. Right? So the ministry of helps is the contact point, everything that goes on around the preaching of the word of God. There's the preaching, and then there's the ministry of helps. So like here this morning, you know, you've seen a number of examples of the ministry of helps in action. The parking lot, lines are painted. It's a ministry of helps. Anyone in here concerned at all this morning that someone's not going to know where to drive and going to hit your car? No, you just pull it in, park, and you come right in. Helps the message. We cut the grass, right? Trim the plants and the flowers. You walk in, helps the message. greeted you at the door, right? Helps the message. We are getting your heart. The Word of God is what's going to make the difference. But many times working with people, we've just got to do a lot of things in order to get you ready to hear the Word of God, right? Have you ever gone to a church? You know, maybe you were new and someone just kind of stops you and stands in the door. Hold on a second. What are you doing here? You're new in these parts, you know? Or you come back and they're like, what are you doing here? Right? Would you love having a greeter at the door like that? What are you doing here? Hold on a second. Hey, look who came back. We didn't think you were coming back. I know. Can you believe it? Well, come on in. All right. Right? Who wants to hear the Word of God this morning, right? No, we greet you at the door. Man, we are so glad that you came. We've been looking for you. Why? Because we know that if you're ready, the Word of God is going to make a difference in your life. It'll impact your spouse. It'll impact your children. You've got something you can take to your job, impact your entire job. Wherever you are you a teacher? Are you a banker? Are you a lawyer? It can impact everything where you go. We are happy to see you here. Because the Word of God is going to make a difference in your life. And you come in and we've got the air conditioner set. Why? Because we want you to hear the message. We don't want you fussing, you know, about the temperature. You're too cold, right? We take all the kids away. Why? Because it helps the message. Come on now, right? All right, and so we present the message to them, right? We do snacks, we do games, you know, we got youth, we do pizza. Why? Because we want to get the Word of God. The Word of God is what makes a difference. But there's a whole lot we do around the Word of God to get people ready to receive the Word of God. That is the ministry of helps. And here in this passage in Acts chapter 6, we see a story. They said we're serving food. That's what it's talking about, the daily ministration. So did you understand here in Acts chapter 6, what they're talking about is they're serving food every day and the crowd is growing. And the disciples say, listen, man, we're having to do a lot more. It's not right. We need to spend time in the Word of God and prayer. So they're not asking for someone to come alongside and help because they don't like the work. They don't want to do the work. They're just saying that there's something greater. We're supposed to go before God and get the message. So the ministry of helps comes alongside and it takes the simple things from the leader, so that they can hear from God and deliver that Word of God that is alive, that will change your life. Doesn't mean they're better than you. Doesn't mean that you're worthless. It just means in this particular instance, God has designed this person to give the message. And anything we can do to take things off their plate, so they don't have to worry about, man, is the air going to be on? Is the sound going to be on? Are they going to have music? Are so-and-so going to show up? No, you're here, you're faithful. We know you are coming, and they get to stay and get that word from God. And I want you to see here that the disciples said, we want people to help us serving food. They did not say, whoever just has a little extra time, can you just fill in? It really doesn't take much, people. You know, we just need a couple of bodies. What did they say? We want people full of the Holy Ghost. We want people full of wisdom. Do you understand? They're looking for people to work in the kitchen. I want people to serve some meat, cut the potatoes. I'm not just looking for anybody. We want people full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of wisdom. Come on, the kingdom of God is looking for qualified people in the ministry of helps. And then I want you to see here that the Holy Ghost lays out this entire story. The Holy Ghost tells us the seven people that they chose, and he lists them by name. Tell me that the ministry of helps is not important to the kingdom of God.
Right.
Here we are a couple thousand years later. We're telling the story of the people who worked in the kitchen in the early church.
Yeah. Wow.
This is important to God. And then they tell us that they actually called these individuals forward. Will the following seven individuals please come forward? And the Bible says that they put them in front of the apostles. Come on, we've done this before for missionaries, right? So-and-so is going on a missions trip. Oh, we all agree. Bring them down front. Have them. Yeah, we're going to pray for them. So-and-so has a big project. Bring them down front. We've got some people that are going to prepare our food. We want to pray for him. Bring him down front. Have you ever seen that happen in the church? Well, the following seven individuals, and they came forth. And the Bible says that the disciples laid hands on them and sent them forth. Now go into the kitchen. Right? Someone knew there. Hey, psst, where are they going? To the kitchen. Never heard of that country. No, downstairs. Potatoes. The Holy Ghost is telling the story of people who worked behind the scenes. What have you been doing? Come on. What you're doing for the kingdom of God. God has called you. He has asked you. You heard and you've stepped in. Come on, the kingdom of God deserves our best. Amen. Amen. He is writing down. He is keeping track. Today, I am here teaching on the ministry of helps. How did I get here? I've been doing things behind the scenes for over 20 years, things you don't know about. I helped another man with his vision. Had a Bible school diploma. I was ready to preach. Spirit of God says, I want you to work here at this church. And I worked behind the scenes. I did all kinds of stuff. Felt I had a call to do. Felt I didn't have a call to do. Had an ability. Didn't have an ability to do. Week in, week out. Day in, day out. Giving my best. It wasn't even my dream. It wasn't even my vision. That's how I'm here today. Because I gave it my best. You know, I was just a young man. I told you how I was learning there with the people skills, you know. So I got promoted and I got an indoor job and I'm working setups, but I also had to work out of the tool crib there at this church. So it was a unique church. We had a 110-acre campus, got 125 guys working in the warehouse. We had carpenters and plumbers and HVAC and mechanics and welders, and we had a dozen grounds guys. So we had a tool crib, maybe a little bit smaller than this room right here. And so we had all kinds of tools in there. Guys come to the window, ask for a tool. We sign it out, check it out. And the Holy Ghost is dealing with me. Why don't you learn, you get some better people skills, you know, because I didn't know have any people skills. So I just learned how to be friendly. And so the Holy Ghost used this illustration. Here's how he motivated me. He said, treat it like you're on commission. Everybody that comes up and needs help, you get to them quick. I give you a commission on it, right? On every guy that you get to, you know. And so I just made him a business. I'm sharp, I'm quick, you know. I'm just helping. And then the Holy Ghost is just helping me. Why don't you have a good attitude? Why don't you help them? And I saw over time how if I was helpful, if I could figure out the project that they're doing, I could recommend other tools and save them time. And I realized what a positive attitude could do. And I was just trying to get through the days. I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize that on the other side of the window, even though these are Bible school students and they're working in the warehouse, these are missionaries. These are pastors. These are ministers. I didn't realize that I was going to be a traveling minister someday. So fast forward 15 years, I have so many relationships. I have traveled the world on the relationships from the guys on the other side of the window. Man, thank God for the Holy Ghost, because I wasn't smart enough to see the whole thing. I was just giving my best today. So now I'm out on the road teaching. I can't tell you how many times I have been introduced with people saying, when I was a Bible school student, Dave was one of the best, the friendliest, the most helpful there in the warehouse. And when I found out he's teaching on helps, we said, we got to have this guy in to teach on helps. And I say to myself every time, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I was just trying to get through the days. But what you're doing for the kingdom of God, God sees and knows. And promotion is always coming. There's a place for everybody to do something, though. There's a place for everyone to get involved. There's something you can do, you know. I didn't start out preaching. I started out picking up the trash, right? And then I moved my way up to organizing some of the events. And then I worked my way up to organizing the larger events. And I worked my way up to organizing the bigger events, right? There's just a growth that comes, right? Turn with me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read this. We'll go over this passage and then we'll close. Ephesians 4. You know, the goal of my message today is just to encourage you, inspire you about what you're doing for the kingdom of God. God has you in a place, and there's something that he's going to have you do. All these projects I've worked on, man, there's times where we were exhausted, we were tired, we got dirty, right? You're going to use your ability. But I tell you what, I'm here today, and I followed the path of promotion because I was faithful to do the little things. I was faithful to just help out. How can I help you? You're in a place. You're in a spot. And so there is a dream. There is a vision that's been given to this place. And it's going to fit the ability of the people that God calls alongside. And there's more people out there that God has called to be part of this in here. And so those people are going to need courage to come. And when they show up, they're going to have ability, but sometimes they're going to be broken too. And it's going to take a community of people who are saying, listen, we're family. We are together. And while we're working together, we're able to share the story. Listen, I know you're going through something, but come on here. Let me tell you what the Word of God has done in my life. And the same difference He made in me, He can make in your life. And what I love about the helps is it gives you so many opportunities of sharing your faith, of being the disciple. Right? When someone's new to the church, rarely are we going to have an opportunity to just sit down, let's go for coffee, and just start from the beginning. Tell me what you know about Jesus, right? If they've been in the church for a while, this conversation will go well. But for most Americans, this conversation is an awkward conversation, right? However, I get you, and you're kind of new to the church. I need some help moving some tables and chairs. You know, I get a guy come alongside of me. All of a sudden, that's where conversation opens up, right? Because we're not focused on them or me. Let's just do the work. Let's just do the job together. And there's so many ways that the ministry of helps works to get discipleship into our lives. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, He himself, talking about Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles. Here again, we see another listing, similar to the one in 1 Corinthians 12, of what Jesus Christ has placed in the church. Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are the ones that do the work, not just the pastor. The pastor is the one that encourages us and edifies us, and then we leave from here during the week, and then that's when we do the ministry. I'm not sure if we understand that. I think the American church there has got this a little skew, right? We're expecting this guy, right, to go and pray for everybody. We want this one to come, you know, every time and bail us out of trouble every time, right? And that's good. And they're there to show us the way and to lead the way. But it's also supposed to be people out here, right, on your own, just going in and praying for people, on your own visiting the people, on your own doing. That's the work of the ministry, right? So many believers today, they're like, they run into someone who's not born again, and they say, well, you need to talk to my pastor. No, you're supposed to take care of it right there on the spot. So the gifts are given to help you do the work. Right? Goes on to say, till we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. I want you to listen here. We're going to read a few verses here, and it gives us a picture of someone who's growing up. Till we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everyone say grow up. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What he's talking about here is the effective working of which every part, you have a part to play. You come into the church and you begin to learn. You realize, you identify, hey, I think I have this part. And the great thing about this community is that you have the confirmation, people around you saying, yes, right? I believe I can sing, right? You'll find out quick. The community will tell you. How about if we make you a greeter, right? Or I think I'm a greeter. How about if we get you to cut the grass, right? I know you're working on some stuff, right? Jesus, help me to be a greeter, right? Well, let's work on that behind the scenes, and then, right? But as you come in and you get involved, you begin to grow. It's kind of like for me, Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just a couple of months away. Growing up, it's like one of my favorite holidays. I don't know if it's the meat and potatoes, which I love, or the football, or if it was the time off from school and from work. Love Thanksgiving. So I'm the youngest, right? I got three older sisters. Growing up, man, I had it good, had it easy, right? I just show up to Thanksgiving. That is my contribution. I eat the potatoes, I eat the meat. Man, this is really good, right? And then afterwards, I go watch some football. Man, this is good. We should do this every month. How come we're not doing this once a month? I'm very grateful to God. How about you guys? I'm grateful for turkey, for stuffing, for potatoes, right? So I'm young, you know, but over time I begin to watch. You know, I see how my sisters are all involved. They're actively involved in the dinner, you know, and years goes by and they're still actively involved. And then I remember one year, sometime in my late teens, my 20s, you know, my sisters actually have a meeting a couple months out. Who's doing what, you know, and I'm not a part of that meeting. I'm smart, you know. When you're the youngest, though, you just learn how to be quiet. Come on, any of the youngest in here? If you're just quiet, you just learn a lot and you just skate under the radar and you learn, here's how we do it. One sister is like involved with the turkey. One sister is like baking pies. One sister is like doing salads and vegetables, and I am showing up. I'm the boy, I'm the man, I'm the youngest. That's what we do, right? So then over time, you know, the sisters put pressure on the parents. You know, brother needs to be doing something, you know. So they came to me and said, well, you know, can you bring us a bag of ice? Yeah, I think I could bring a bag of ice, you know. So then it grew. And so for years, bring a pop and a bag of ice, you know. So one year I bring pop, you know, I brought what I drank, you know. And he said to me, well, would you consider bringing, you know, what anyone else would like to drink? Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me make a list, you know. So these girls are just, like, doing so much work, you know. And my whole contribution is, like, 2 minutes at the Walmart, you know. I'm stopping at the Quick Trip on the way in, you know. And there was one year they needed more ice. And I had to go all the way back to the store to get another bag of ice. Can you believe it, people? I think I have $2 in coin in my car somewhere. Oh, my goodness, another bag of ice. For years, I got away with bringing soda, pop, and bag of ice. And then one year, they found out I knew how to make mashed potatoes. Uh-oh. Jig is up, my friends. Cat is out of the bag. I have been making mashed potatoes every year, ever since then. Right? And then one year I had a brother-in-law came up to me after the meal and said, hey, how about you and I got this great idea. How about you and I go do the dishes? Are you kidding me? Today? Today of all days? This is the day you want to do the dishes? I have sisters, man. What are you talking about? Why don't we pick like the pizza party when we did plastic, you know, the Tupperware, the plates and paper plates? No, he wants to, all right, so we did the dishes, right? Uh-oh. And then one year I learned how to carve the turkey, you know? I'm the man, that's what we do, we carve the turkey, you know? At this point in my career, last year, my wife and I, we actually hosted Thanksgiving, right? Last five, see, I did the turkey myself, I know, hey! So the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, I'm extensively involved in this Thanksgiving Day production. If it was at my sister's house, I'd go there early and help them out, you know, just, you know, whatever. We're getting my nephew. All of a sudden, my nephew's bringing the bag of ice. I taught two or three of them to carve the turkey. right? Teaching the nephews how to carve the turkey. In fact, one year, about 10 years ago or something like that, I grabbed three oldest nephews, and I said, come on, boys, we're going to go do the dishes, you know? And I washed them, and the next one rinsed them, the last one dried them, and then one of them put them away, you know? I made all the girls really nervous in the other room, you know? Something about fancy china or something, I don't know, you know? And so we're just getting everybody involved. So at my house now, everybody has a part to play. Everybody pitches in. It's not one person who does the turkey and the potatoes and the stuffing and the pies and the vegetables and the dessert and they set the table and they do the dishes, right? Man, if there's one person doing that, we're not doing Thanksgiving but once every 10 years, right? I don't know about your family, but in my family, everybody's got a part to play. A couple years ago, I slipped and fell getting out of the attic. You know, I was wearing flip-flops. I shouldn't have, you know. So I sprained my ankle, and I broke a bone on the outside of my foot there, you know. And that was like a week before Thanksgiving, and they still made me do the potatoes at Thanksgiving. I'm propped up. I'm on crutches. And I'm peeling. I was like, I cannot believe this, you know. You know, all through those years, you know, invariably at dinner, someone would say, oh, David, these potatoes are so good, you know. And that's how you string a man, to get the man to keep doing the same thing over and over. You just tell him, nobody makes potatoes like you do. Man, for years, I really thought that the potatoes were good. I realize now they were just getting me back for all those years. When I was just bringing bag of ice, oh, these potatoes are so I know, I'll do the potatoes again. Nobody makes potatoes like me, you know. They're just stringing me in, you know, reeling another one. This is what Paul's talking about, right? Let's go back. Let's look at this again. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look here at the end of these verses. He's talking about growing up. I want you to grow up. And as I grew up, I started to do more. Started out with nothing. I just showed up, right? Then I went to a bag of ice. I went to the potatoes, right? I didn't start with the turkey. Started with a bag of ice, right? Everybody's pitching in. What does Paul say here? Ephesians 4. We should no longer be children, verse 14. But speaking the truth in love, grow up into all things from whom the whole body, the whole family, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body. See, as you come in and you get involved, you grow, the church grows. Amen. See, some of you in here, you're just like me as a kid years ago. You're just showing up on a Sunday morning. I don't know who's doing all the work, but I love it. Thank you. I'm coming back next week. And at some point, we are going to ask you, can you bring a bag of ice? Right? We're not going to ask you to do the whole thing. We're not going to ask you to do the temperature, you know, plus the music and the preaching. And no, come on. It's every part does its share. And so what I want you to walk away from here and asking God, say, God, what is my part? What is my share? And when he reveals that to you, sometimes it can just be come from the stage. I need somebody to do something. Got it. We'll get it started. You may follow someone else. Say, I think maybe children's. Go check it out. Go check out children's one day on a Sunday. Hang around them. See it, right? You think you might be interested in ushering? Find an usher. Talk to him. Hey, can I just trail you? Tell me what you do. How can I do this? Sit up in the sound booth. Come to like practice, praise and worship practice. Find your part. Find your place. Come on, the effective working. When you get there, oh, make it shine. Give it honor. Give it glory. Take the spots nobody likes and add honor to it. Make it look glorious. Amen. Give it your best. You grow, the church grows. Come on, promotion is coming. So the first place where you find your place is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's the Son of God. You need a Savior. Sin kept you from the presence of God, but Jesus came in and he paid the price for your sin. Died on the cross. paid the price for your sickness. Did you know sickness is illegal?
Yeah.
Anything coming against you is illegal. The legal price has fully been paid by Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says you can't come to God on your own. You have to come through Jesus because Jesus paid the price. The Bible says, do you believe that? Do you believe what Jesus Christ did for you? Will you go a step further? Will you admit it? Will you speak it out loud? Say, I believe what Jesus did for me. The Bible says that's how you become born again. That's how you come into a relationship with God. That's how you get to come before the Father anytime to receive from Him. The Bible says as soon as you do that, now you have a personal relationship with God. All of your sins have been forgiven. You have the opportunity to pray, and God will hear your prayers, hear your words. Anybody in here, you say, I've never done that before. I've never asked Jesus Christ. This is what we call being born again, right? Being a believer. It's the simplest thing. Do you believe it in your heart? Well, you speak it out. That's how you become born again. Anybody at all? That's the first step for getting involved in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Well, it looks like we're all born again here this morning. I'm just going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. Oh, thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. What an honor, what a privilege to be involved in the plan of God, in the kingdom of God. Father, is there something you would have us to do? Speak to us this morning. Something that we're already doing. Well, Holy Ghost, just encourage us, inspire us, strengthen us to do our best, to give the best that we can for the kingdom of God. I just speak to the leadership. Pray for them here this morning, Father. Thank you for strengthening them, refreshing them, giving them Holy Ghost ideas of getting people involved. What is the vision? What is the plan that you would have them to do? What is the plan for this place right here in Jesus' name? We thank you that the call has gone forth. Your word says your word will not return void. It will accomplish what you please. It will prosper where you've sent it. And so we just thank you for the word of God that was spoken over this place. In the name of Jesus, that word will not return void. It will accomplish. And as the work continues on and goes on, it will get stronger and stronger because of the grace of God, because of the anointing in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you for all the people that are involved here. Oh, help them to get into the right place. If there needs to be a moving and a rearranging, help them to find the place where they're supposed to be. Divine ideas, Holy Ghost ideas for the leaders here this morning of what to do, how to do it. And we also pray for those that you've called to be a part of this community that they haven't come yet or they need to return. In the name of Jesus, we just speak to them. Courage, be strong. Be of good courage and come and to be a part. Help them to find their place even this week. Help them to find this place in the name of Jesus. Because we thank you for the word of God that's going forth. The word of God of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Father God. Glory to your name. Oh, let's just thank him just for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, we just magnify your name. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I have a picture here this morning that there were things that were spoken, there were words that came forth. Hallelujah. But it wasn't necessarily connected to a person, but it came through a person because that's who God was using at the time. But the word that came forth was actually for this. So there were things that were spoken in the past. They still have yet to come to pass, but they will come to pass. It wasn't tied to someone, right? But he was the someone that the Holy Ghost used to speak that forth. Hallelujah. God has placed this church right here in this community on purpose. You're here on purpose. There's something greater than just you sitting there. There's something greater than just your family sitting here. This is a group of people here that can impact a whole region. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we can easily get past the differences, right? Because we're supposed to be different, right? And that just enables us to just settle right in and say, okay, I'm not moving till God has me going somewhere else. Right? Some were sent and some just went. Right? But there's a determination. Come on, there's a strength that comes up on the inside of people. What the ministry helps does for you, it develops that strength where you say, I'm not easily offended. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. I'm staying put. We're working through this. We're getting through this. Because the devil does all he can to divide, to get people offended, right? Come on, I was in the youth department for 11 years. Had wonderful opportunities to be offended and want to quit. Had wonderful opportunities to offend people, cause them to want to quit. Come on now. Right? But there's just something about that spirit of faith that says, I'm not moving, I'm not budging. We will see the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you're building something great here. I can see it. You're building something great here. It's deeper. It's deeper than you think. It's deeper. There was just something. I don't know what was going on over here. If this was your crew here, there's something going on here. There's something deeper that you're building. It's deeper than what you see. You're impacting families. You're impacting generations. Hallelujah. Because you see, you've been faithful. You heard it. No one else heard it. You heard it. You heard it. Right? You heard it. Way to go. He's doing something great. And so you're going to have a team of people. And they're going to keep you going. And it might look different than you think. Hallelujah. There's something dynamic that was happening over here this morning. Man, there's something dynamic. They're not here, so I can tell all the rest of you. There's something dynamic right here. Something great right here. So come on. When the youth get to moving, get excited, makes everybody nervous. Come on now, right? We were all teens one day, right? Come on, let's get behind and let's support them, right? But let's not just sit back and let them do all the work. Come on, we've all got a part, right? Hallelujah, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing here. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes it takes more strength to just stay put. Sometimes it takes more strength to stay put. Hallelujah. But if you go, you'll miss out on the reward. You go when it's tough, you miss out on the reward of when it all comes together. Anybody can leave when it's tough. Anybody can leave when you're like, man, I just don't get it. Anybody can go. But there's something about a spirit of faith that says, I'm not moving, I'm not budging here in this place. God is raising up this church, man, for this region, for this community. I'm not sure. I don't know all the dynamics of how your region is set up. But this is not just, this is like for a, does that agree with you? It's like a region. It's not just for the city. It's like a region here. Does that agree with you? You know this area. Hallelujah. And so you get there by finding your place. You get there by coming in, by being faithful. You get there by showing up every week, right? You just keep coming and you just keep coming and you just keep coming. And we just get past our differences and we get past our differences and we just keep on working together. And that's what, man, that's what the grace of God does for us, right? So anytime we have that where it feels like that the gears are really grinding, you know? Sometimes we just need an extra praise and worship night, you know? We get all the leaders together. Come on, let's just sing together. Let's just worship together. We need that oil. We need that grace of getting together, right? Because we're not moving. We're not budging. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's something dynamic. There's something great. It will happen. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people will come. The people will come. Hallelujah. The people will come and they will receive. Oh, come on. I can see it. I can see it. I can see people coming in the back and I can see their families changing. Oh, I can see their families changing. And they're going to say things like this. We've been looking for a place like this. Thank you. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. Oh, thank you. Come on. Come on. Thank you for not giving up. Oh, so many people are going to come up to you and say, thank you for not giving up. 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 And the Holy Ghost is going to show you this family and that family and this family and that family and that family and that family. And it's going to be innumerable. Oh, hallelujah. And it's going to be overwhelming for you. And they're going to say, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. Oh, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. So in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for, oh, just a strength, a refreshing strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, because you didn't call yourself anyway. He called you. He did not make a mistake, right? So we don't question him because he knows what's going on. He's the one who equips. He's the one who qualifies. Hallelujah, and he's the one that answers for anybody else. If anybody has something, you know, to say, they take it up with him because he's the one that picked you. He's the one that chose you. He's the one that called you. He already knew ahead of time, and he said, she can do it. It is done. It is settled. Hallelujah. So if God is for you, who can be against you? Right? You didn't ask for this. But you were obedient. He said, I would do it. I'll go. I'll go. So there's a reward. Come on, there's a reward for staying put. Sherry, there's a reward. Hallelujah. There's a reward. Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. Everything you desired, everything you dreamed about, he's placed it on the inside of you. Everything you dreamed about, he put it there. Oh, come on, expand it. Expand the vision. Expand her hopes. Expand, expand, expand. Even greater, 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 even greater. Oh, Holy Ghost, help them to dream big. Help them to dream big. Help them to dream big. Why not you? Why not us? Why not here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just surround them with people who support them. Surround them with people who can get the vision done, get the job done. We call them forth in Jesus' name. Come, find a place, be strong and of good courage. Oh, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor D. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, everybody say, bring a bag of ice.
Bring a bag of ice.
Carol asked, what's the title of the message? David says, well, I don't know. Everybody say, bring a bag of ice. That's so easy. So easy. You can go through your car and pull out the change. It's so easy. So, you know, my greatest honor is not what I do here on a Sunday morning. And I have fun here on Sunday morning. But the greatest honor and pleasure is what I see you do the rest of the week. And I hear about. That's what thrills me. That's what thrills me. All right? So, praise the Lord. Ushers, would you come forward?